Okay.
Your voice will go out over the airwaves.
Oh, but anyhow,
there'll be hundreds of people listening to you sing that aren't even here today.
Okay.
So do a good job.
I'll try to. Good morning, everyone. You know what? Sometimes trials and troubles come our way, and sometimes affliction come upon us that catches us off guard. But you know, you got to remember that you belong to God. And no matter what happens, He's going to take care of you. There's a dear saint here this morning that's been on my heart. And I urge you, urge that dear saint this morning just to trust God. And He will see you through all things. Amen, please. He loves you so, David said, He's like a shepherd, and He knows your every need. He leads you by the gentle water, your hungry soul He shall feed. Now as a little lamb, you're helpless. Your soul you can't defend, but I'm glad that Jesus is your shepherd. For on Him you can depend. You're in your Savior's hands. Those precious nail-scarred hands, so riven through. His hands will never fail. And though you may not understand, keep trusting the great I am. It's good to be in your Savior. Confusion when you cannot find your way, so bewildered from the battle, don't even know for what to pray. But I'm glad that somewhere in the shadow of your troubles and your fear, oh, there's a Savior sent from heaven, and you can see Him through your tears. For you're in your Savior's hands. Those precious nail-scarred hands, though riven through and nailed, those precious hands will never fail. Though you may not understand, just keep trusting in the great I am. For it's good to be in the Savior's hand. Now listen to the morning. Listen. Though you may not understand, oh, keep trusting in the great I am. Oh, it's so good to be in the Savior's hand. Oh, it's you. Hold on, dear saint. Hold on. You're going to be all right.
Hey,
praise God.
Stand again and turn to 111 how great thou art, usher the poem of the last, first and last sense of this thing.
Sing.
Brother Bob, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, again, we just thank you for being gathered here as fellow believers and just come out from the world to worship here this morning. We just pray to you for pastors and bring the message. And again, we would just ask that the offering be used to further the gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. This morning. They're excerpts from letters that John was directed to write on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus told him to write to these churches. He wrote to seven of them, And in three of those letters that he wrote to three different churches, he made a statement here that I want to call to your attention. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25, an excerpt from the letter that he was to write to the church at Thyatira. And here's what he told them. That which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. In chapter 3, verse 3, from his letter to the Christians in the church at Sardis, he told them, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Hold fast. And again, in the third chapter and verse 11, to the church at Philadelphia, he told them, hold that fast which thou hast. We're living in a day when we need to hold fast. We need something solid that we can hold on to, something that is stable and will support us. Quite a number of years ago, I was visiting my family in Texas. My dad and mother were both alive at the time. And every time that I went home, all of my brothers who lived around there would all come over to Mom and Dad's house to see me. And we would visit together. And one day, my brother Bill and I decided to go out to the lake there at Grand Prairie, Texas, which is between Dallas and Fort Worth. And we took our fishing lines with us and thought we might fish for a little while, which we did. Well, the fish weren't biting, so we decided to go swimming with them. We brought our swim trunks. And we paddled around out there in the waters of the lake for a while. We found an old log, an old queer-soded utility pole that had been broken and had washed up against the shore of the lake. And grass, weeds, and things had grown over it to where you could hardly see it. It'd been there for ages. And we got out there and dug that old log out of the grass, dirt, mud that it was in, and got it out there in the deeper water and found out that that old log would float. So we had us a play toy. And we got out there and played around on that old log, you know, getting on it, log rolling, and such as this. And we finally decided that we would ride it. So he got a straddle of one end and I got a straddle of the other. And our weight would push it down into the water about 8 to 10 inches. And we would use our hands like this to paddle and guide it which way we wanted it to go. And we were having a lot of fun with that old log. Now, I don't remember whose idea it was, but eventually we decided that we would paddle that log across the lake. Now, it seemed like it would be fun at the time. That's Wetzel mentality. When you get two of us together, you've really got a pile of it. As you know, distances across water are quite deceiving. you have an unobstructed view of the other side, and it looks closer than it really is. Anyway, it must have been a mile or so across that lake, I can't remember. But we straddled that old log and set out on our journey. Bill was sitting up here on the one end of it, the front end, and I was sitting back here at the back, the straddle of it, and we were using our hands like this to paddle. Remember, the log is submerged underwater about that deep. It was a hot Texas summer day, and the sun was shining bright. And sitting on that log from the waist down, we were in the water. But the upper part of our torso was exposed to the sunshine. And not only that, the rays of the sun were reflecting down onto the water and back up this way onto us, catching us from all directions. And it was kind of like being in a tanning saloon. So we were paddling slowly on our way across the lake. Finally, we got tired, but we looked around and we were at that, what they call the point of no return. You know, you're almost there, but you're almost not. Out there in the middle of that lake, all of a sudden my legs begin to cramp. You know, sitting straddle of that log and then legs down in the cold water and the rest of our body hot from the sun. And we had to get off the log. I had to get off that log. Held on to it, of course, and kind of kicked the cramps out of my legs and swam for a little while pushing the log. It's a wonder we didn't drown. Neither one of us could have ever swum to the shore from where we were. So we straddled that log and kept on going. We'd get tired of riding it for a while and we'd get off and swim alongside it and push it like this. And it seemed like hours later that we finally made it across to the other side. Now, what do we do? Here's where the Wetzel mentality comes in again. Why did we do it? Well, I think it was President Kennedy that said one time about going to the moon, because it was there. It's the only reason we had for that. Now, we're way over here on the far side of the shore, and we look across that lake. Our car is over here. Our clothes are over there. And we're over here. Now, this is not a lake that's like in a park. Not at all. This is one of those old Texas lakes down there where you've got woods and everything else around it. There's no park at all. It's just wild country. But now we have an option. We can either get a straddle of that log and go back across the lake, or we can walk around the lake. Well, after setting a straddle of that log, as long as we had to get over there, we opted to walk. Now, it was a long way around it. I can't even guess at how long, from 3 to 5 miles or something like that. But every inch of it was covered with hot sand, grass burrs, cuckleburrs, goat heads, bull nettles, briars, thorn bushes, and occasionally an old rusty barbed wire fence. Eventually, we got back to our cars and the clothes. And the sun was sinking in the west. And we looked like we had been through World War III and lost. We had scratches and stings and bites and sunburn. Our bodies were as red as a beet. And to top it off, that old log had been infested with chigger bugs. I say had been because by now they are all on us. When we got home, we decided we'd get rid of the chiggers first. We didn't know what to do about those little critters. But we went out to the truck that was in the driveway and got us some rags and stuck it down the filler pipe into the gas tank in that thing and soaked those rags with ethyl gasoline. Now, some of you don't know what ethyl gasoline is, but today I think they've got a new name for it. They call it premium. But back then it was ethyl gasoline. And so here we get those rags and we begin to try to get rid of those chigger bugs. We practically bathed in that gas. It was a smart move. The only thing is, those chiggers were not allergic to it or whatever. It didn't bother them a bit. It just made them mad, and instead of biting us once, they bit us twice. And that gasoline didn't do much good to our sunburned skin either. Now, I said all of that to say this. Some of you may spiritually be out in the middle of a lake on an old log. You don't have much more sense than I did. It's dangerous out there. All the hope that you have is in that old log. That log was the only thing that kept us from drowning. Now, we would have been better off if we kept both of our feet on solid ground. But we didn't. And out in the middle of that lake, we were far better off with that log than we would have been without it. That log is like Jesus Christ. It'll take you across if that's where you want to go, but you have to hold on to it or you'll drown. If you lose your faith and let go, you'll sink, literally. It's kind of like flying in an airplane. I'm sure most of us are familiar with that. You go down to the airport, and when you get on that plane, you may not think of it consciously, but it's somewhere in your mind. You have faith to believe in the law of aerodynamics. And you sit there, I can remember every time I get on a plane like that, the adrenaline, the excitement or something like that, as that plane revs up its motors and it goes down that runway there, and you can feel it whenever it lifts off. That's the law of aerodynamics that's going into effect right there. And you go up into the air like that, whoo, you just get that exhilarated feeling when you do that. And you realize that that law of aerodynamics is greater than the law of gravity. So I'm flying to Dallas, and I get out here over New Mexico somewhere, and I lose faith in the law of aerodynamics. I begin to think about how heavy that airplane is, and how heavy the load of people that's on it is, and my mind tells me this can't be happening. So when I lose faith in the law of aerodynamics, I put my faith back in the law of gravity. But when I jump out of that plane to save myself, I'd better have a parachute on, because the law of gravity will take effect about that time from 35,000 feet up over New Mexico. And I get to thinking about things that happened in the Bible. Samson was okay until Delilah gave him a haircut. Then he was in real trouble. He turned loose of a log. I think about Goliath, that giant of a man who was the hero of the Philistines, until he met a little Jew boy by the name of David that had a sling, and all it took was one smooth stone. Brought him down. He fell off his log in the middle of the lake. Think about Simon Peter. Climbed over the side of the boat and began to walk on the water of the Sea of Galilee to go to Jesus. He was doing pretty good until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And then what does the Bible say? Beginning to sink, he got off the log in the middle of the water. And on the other hand, I think of a fellow that we read about in the Bible by the name of Job. Job lost all that he had. He lost all of his children at one time. He lost his houses. He lost his livestock. And he lost his health. But Job held on to the log. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Then I read about Naomi. She took a trip to Moab with her family. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons to death. But she held on to the log. And when she came back to Bethlehem, she told her friends. She says, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. But she held on to the log. She got back home. Down at Jericho, one of Moses' men, Joshua's men by the name of Achan, turned loose of the log when they went into the city of Jericho. And he grabbed up some gold and some silver and a Babylonish garment. It took him down. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost all of his possessions. He even lost his own life. He turned loose of the log to get a hold of something else that he thought would be better. You know, there's going to be husbands and wives who get into arguments. And some of them are going to get off of the log. Hire a lawyer, file for divorce, break up their home. Don't abandon the log. Jesus Christ can solve your problems. Find out what attracted you to each other in the beginning and hold on to it. You know, I love to see little children come to the house of God and learn about Jesus. We used to have them, and they would come up here to recite their memory verses, sing songs about Jesus. And oh, I'd love to see them step out during the invitation, come down the aisle to place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always love to baptize them. My, I delighted in that. But it breaks my heart when I see so many of them, when they reach their teenage years, they turn loose of the log. They get too big for Sunday school. They get too big for church. When they graduate, they no longer have time for God. They no longer have time for Jesus or the church. My heart has been broken too when someone will come to me and say, I have no place in my life for God or the church. It breaks a parent's heart to hear a child tell him that, because you know they're turning loose of the log and they can't swim to shore. Look around you. You won't find, percentage-wise, very many young, single men and women from 15 to 25 years old in churches like ours. But there are a lot of them around. I drive up past the high schools and I see all of these young men and women, and I wonder, what church did you attend last Sunday? You won't find them in church, but you'll find them in gangs. You'll find them high on drugs and alcohol. You'll find them riding around in their cars, shooting innocent people, robbing, raping, committing felonies. I see our sweet children grow up and drift away into indifference and unconcern for the things of God. And the first thing you know, they're into drugs and in trouble with the law. And I say, what a waste. What a waste. They turn loose of the log. There are young people in our jails today that have given up on God supplying their needs. So they took to crime to satisfy their wants and their desires. There are women today who have turned loose of the log, and they walk the streets selling their bodies to satisfy ungodly cravings. There are professional people today who abandon God. They turn loose of the log and they cheat and they lie. Leaders of our nation who deny their faith to become grasping and greedy to line their own pockets and to promote their own selves. Amen. The temptation's always there. We see so much of it today. Those who are drowning in despair. My admonition is this: draw nigh to God. Hold on to His omnipotent hand and don't let go. Don't become like Jonah and try to run away from the presence of God. Trust him to see you through to victory. Keep Jesus foremost in your mind and in your heart, and let his word dwell in you richly. Surround yourself with his people in his house. Don't lose your faith. Don't turn loose of the log. Now, some of you may not have a hope to hold on to. I pity you. You may be drowning in despair. My thoughts go back, and we had so many incidents like this. World War II, when either the enemy planes or a submarine or something like that would sink one of our ships carrying 1,000 to 1,500 men or more, and the ship would be sunk, and you've got men all over the ocean out there swimming around trying to find something to hold on to, going in all directions, trying to save themselves. In many instances, becoming shark food. The nearest land is 1,000 miles away. Can you imagine? Amongst all of these men out there that are trying to stay afloat, we have lifeboats. Lifeboats that come along and offer them salvation. And the guy floundering to stay afloat says, "No thanks, I'll make it on my own." The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. At the end thereof, the ways of death. Don't turn loose of the log. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you have nothing to hold on to. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that when we were drowning in sin and despair, when there was no hope in our soul for salvation, the Word of God came into our hearts, and by faith we heard about Jesus, and we believed in him, and we took a hold of him, and we're holding on to him. There's nothing in this world that we can hold on to, nothing to give us security. The money is failing. The money market is going under. Houses and lands are unaffordable anymore. We can't depend on that. Our health, we have new diseases coming into the world every day that's taking the souls of men into eternity. There's only one to whom we can look, and that's Jesus, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And Father, today, if there's one in this congregation that does not know you as their personal Savior, please today help them to open their hearts and say to Jesus, "Come into my heart. Come in and save me. Give me salvation. Lift me out of this misery that I'm in. And give me something firm to stand on." Heavenly Father, save those that are lost. Redeem those that are without hope. We thank you again for Jesus and for your love for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
498.
Eighty-nine. Maybe someone's here this morning and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come to Him today? A beautiful song. For coming out today. Appreciate your being here. Remember the services tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll have another good time in the Word of God. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother Roger DeLisle, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Again, thank you for this church that you've given us that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. We thank you for those that are not here. We just pray that you be with them, give them traveling mercies, and those that are sick, Lord, that you return them to us healthy. Again, we thank you for the message that the pastor has given us. We thank you for being in our midst. We love you so much, and we thank you for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.